Hello and welcome to Bear Football here on the Barroom Network. John Buffone alongside Aldo Gandia. Our other co-host, Tyler Ellis, much like the Chicago Bears, is having a lot of difficulties, and we're trying to get him in as quickly as possible to weigh in on the game that you all just watched. The Bears drop their week one matchup against the Rams 34-14. A lot to break down here, Aldo. Nothing that it just jumps to your eye as far as saying that has to be fixed and everything's going to be okay. There were a lot of problems throughout this game. What stood out to you, though?
Oh, what stood out to me is that it's just more of the same. It's a dysfunctional team. In 2018, Matt Nagy's rookie season, he was able to surprise the league, like a lot of new coaches do, and get this team into the playoffs with tons of talent. And even if he didn't like the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, he had tons of talent. But then after that, the team has been playing 500 football. And I think that what we saw today was a team that is going to be playing at around a 500 level unless they make some dramatic improvements. But it's not all Matt Nagy's fault. I mean, we saw three left tackles today. And why is that? Because Ryan Pace made a terrible decision in allowing Charles Leno to go. And I hate to bring it up, but Charles Leno, he may have not played a great game with the Washington football team today, but he played. He played the entire game. And he played every entire game with the Chicago Bears, with the exception of a few. So this is just a really, really ugly situation of bad player personnel decisions made by Ryan Pace, Eddie Jackson being one of them, extending his contract, extending the contract of Tariq Cohen, who doesn't have the durability to play for a long time in the NFL, and a head coach who just is not getting it done. So, you know, it's hard to answer your question. It's hard for me to just pick one thing because I just see a potpourri of problems with this team.
Yeah, I said before the game ended, I purposely didn't eat because I'm preparing for all this word soup we're about to guzzle down in the post-game press conference. I want to hear all about how they got to look back at the tape and what a good week of practice they had, and that's where we're at, and all this other, and they got to figure out the why and all this other BS. So what stood out to me, there was a couple things, but just the poor play in the secondary. Eddie Jackson got paid and said, all right, I'm out. That basically is what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing that guy that they signed to a big contract. I'm not seeing any kind of tackle. The cornerbacks are going to be a mess. The secondary is a mess. I'm aggravated because the offense is based on Dinkin and Duncan. The offense is all about picking up 3, 4, 5 yards and killing the time of possession and just, you know, controlling the ball. And then on the other side, the Rams can score in the matter of a blink of an eye. But so the offensive system is not built to score in bunches, apparently. The offense is designed to score 10, 14, 17, maybe 20 points, because the only time they can score is if they put together a 10 to 15 play drive. And then on the defensive side, you have a still frame where Cooper Kupp looks like he's fielding a punt, but in reality, he's 40 yards past anyone in a Bears uniform. So You got a defense that is giving up huge chunk plays and an offense that can't put together chunk plays. And say what you will about Dalton, he was, I guess, effective. If you only need to score 14 points to win a game, or you only need to score a small amount of points to win a game, efficient, fine. They're not going to score very many points if they have to put together a 15 play drive every time, or and go for it on fourth down every time, which they were 0-for on. If they got to go for it on fourth and 15, they're going to be in trouble for the majority of the year. And on the other side, if you can't get off the field and everyone's just slicing and dicing you and they don't got to run the ball because they can just throw it the entire time, I'm seeing a real bad balance. Let's just say the offense has gotten better by 10%. The defense has gotten worse by 30. So they're not evening out. It's not the offense rising to the defensive occasion. It's the defense coming down to where the offense was playing. So now you're leaking at both ends. You're a barrel with holes on the top and the bottom. And I'm trying not to overreact over week one, But it looked, but it did not look that good at all. I don't see how this team can possibly compete with the upper echelon teams in this league.
Yeah, and Tyler, I'm getting an echo from your microphone, which is why I've got you off the screen. So if you can try to work on that. Listen, I see a lot of people in the chat room talking about Andy Dalton maybe wasn't that bad and so forth. But here's the thing. You know, Andy Dalton did not complete an explosive pass today. Everything was under 20 yards, and you can't have that. While Matthew Stafford had three explosive plays today, and you can credit some of the lack of tackling on that, but nonetheless, he completed the passes in the air for over 20, 30, 40 yards. Cooper Kupp, 56 yards. Van Jefferson, 67 yards. Tyler Higbee, 37 yards. Those are all explosive plays. Robert Woods had his touchdown that was 19 yards, whereas Goodwin for the Bears had the 19-yarder, and then everything else was 10, 11 yards. And so that is part of the issue here, that – yes, he didn't play that bad, but we're comparing Dalton to the quarterbacks we've had in the past. When you've got a quarterback who could potentially provide those explosive plays and he is on the sideline. And so that's the problem. I mean, even in that three-minute final part of the game, why didn't Justin Fields run out there and have a series of plays as opposed to package plays? We need to see. This guy is an incredible weapon that you have in the team. We saw what he could do in the red zone. He scored a touchdown. When the play clock is running out on him, he made a rookie mistake. He realized that the play clock was running down. He was a little too lackadaisical, but he realized it in time, got the handoff, and behind a great J.P. Holtz block, his athletic ability took him into the end zone. You've got a player like that on the sideline watching 50, 60 offensive snaps. That's not right. I'm sorry, that's not right. You can say Andy Dalton completed passes, he had an efficient game and so forth, but that's not getting
it done. What does that get you? What does that get you what does that get you other than to say, well, he's not as bad as the other quarterbacks we've had in Chicago, so I guess that's a win. And with these special packages that Justin Fields comes on, basically it looks like he was just running Andy Dalton plays. He's the only one that could do that stupid tight end shuffle pass they try. He's the only one that can throw an out route, so I don't know what these special packages are. It just seems rather real random. It's just like, okay, we're at play 74. Let's put Justin in for this one. Let's see if he can hand it off. I don't buy this special package crap. I think that he's just doing what Andy Dalton does, and then they just work him in. So there's no rhythm to this offense. There's obviously porous holes on the defense. And so this is going to be my point going through this entire show, is that no one's on the defense is getting much worse than the offense is getting better. And the offense can't provide the kind of points necessary to win in this league the way that it's constructed right now. And they got way too much money on a defense that just gave up 34 points. So this whole thing needs reworked, and I'm not trying to talk about 2022 and week one, but if you look at the construct of this team, it doesn't trend well for racking up enough wins to make the playoffs this year. I originally said I thought the Bears would go about 8-9. If they can only do that, I don't know where those 8 wins come from. Honestly, God, I don't know where those 8 wins from. And from everything that we talk about on here, Matt Nagy might be back next year anyway. So this was not encouraging at all to me. Tyler, if you can hear us, go ahead and weigh in and get your first shot in.
Brother Aldo, I'm trying to be positive. I'm really trying to be positive, but I have to stop and just be authentic. This is embarrassing. This is truly embarrassing. But at the end of the day, acceptance is healthy. We don't have a playoff team yet. And that's what hurts, because when you play a team like this that couldn't run on us at all the first three quarters, they couldn't do anything. But Sean McVay, they weren't running against us, but the play action still worked. How does that happen? That's execution. John, this was embarrassing on all fronts. When we talk about Sean Desai, to see Eddie Jackson play like that is so distasteful. And I mean no disrespect. I don't want to put him down. He's a great young man and a great talent. But I don't want to say I'm looking at the highest paid safety in the league. But like, bro, you're covering somebody who's doubled and there's somebody going past you. I don't understand what the objective is. We have an objective. Don't let the people score. So what is the goal to get to that objective? Keep everybody in front of you. How are we missing the basics? Not playing starters in the preseason, all of this stupid emotional crap.
No, I'm with you. And the fact that, and I saw the comment come in that even Tyler's having a hard time being positive. But I understand why. Because what's there to take from this to say, oh wow, okay, then if they work on this, then they're gonna get things rolling. There's like three or four things that need addressed, and we didn't even talk about the fact that we briefly touched on the fact that we don't know who the left tackle is going to be anymore. And we were banking on Peters coming in, who's going to be 40 years old. And that was supposed to be what takes care of everything. And then Larry Borum goes in there and gets hurt. And now Wilkerson's in there. And so I understand that now that line is going to be a big, big problem moving forward. And you don't have a mobile guy back there in Andy Dalton. And so how does that make a shorter leash on him? Does that expedite the Justin Fields process? Probably not, but they're going to be in a world of hurt because that line is going to be a problem. And I do want to say the one big positive coming out of this is David Montgomery is going to be an elite running back in this league. I said that whenever we did Buffon 55 this week, they asked about my breakout players. I said, absolutely, David Montgomery. We already knew what he was capable of here in Chicago. I think on the national scene, and you just got a good taste of it on Sunday Night Football, what David Montgomery is going to be for the next 3, 4, 5 years. He's going to be an elite running back, and he needs to get the ball 20 times a game. He rushed for over 100 yards. I don't think the Rams gave up a 100-yard rusher last year. They gave up one week one to David Montgomery behind that offensive line. So they got a real weapon there in David Montgomery. But even then, you see Nagy take over and say, we got to get Damian Williams in there. We got to get him in there. We got to do all this holier than thou, smarter than everyone crap that we see all the time. And it's just, it's ineffective. And it's basically, you know, that meme where it says, I want the Kansas City offense. And then your mom says, we have the Kansas City offense at home. We're not bringing it home. And then the Kansas City offense at home is the Chicago Bears one, where it's just not that good. So moving forward though, where does the team go? Cause I know we're probably going to try to listen in on the press conference and, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. But Aldo, where does this team go?
Let me just stay on one other thing. I want to really stress this Andy Dalton situation because he is, you know, he's an okay quarterback. He's an okay quarterback. Yeah. But at a point in the fourth quarter, you know, I showed, if you watched during our halftime report, I showed a clip where he totally missed Cole Kmet wide open over the middle. That's one of the reasons Justin Fields is not on there, because of that he's a little slow to read. Well, Andy Dalton was slow to read that. Then there's this play. When the Bears have an opportunity to get back into the game, he takes this sack, but he should just go down there. But no, he's trying to make something happen against that defense. That's just ridiculous to try that. It is. He should have just taken the loss. As right when he gets hit here, he should have taken that loss as opposed to getting up and trying to run away from this defense. And it's a 15-yard loss.
It's so like an extra 8 yards.
Exactly. So it goes from first and 10 to second down and 25. That he's a veteran quarterback, and he should not be making those mistakes. If there are mistakes going to be made like that out of the quarterback position, I want them done by Justin Fields. I want them done by Justin Fields. And just to respond to a few of the comments in the chat room challenging what I was saying about Andy Dalton not doing explosive plays. I think it was Mark, his first name. Mark said, well, was that Andy Dalton's fault or was it Matt Nagy not calling those plays? And you make a good point. There weren't a lot of explosive plays called, if there were any at all. I'll have to go back to the entire game and
try.
But yeah, exactly. You got to try. But at the same time, if Matt Nagy is not calling them, then what? Why is that? Is it because the offensive line can't hold that Rams pass rush enough for Andy Dalton to survey the field downfield, to survey the field? Whatever it is, it was wrong. So perhaps I'm wrong in saying it was Andy Dalton's fault that we didn't have explosive plays. Maybe it's just a team thing. Maybe it's Ryan Pace not drafting an offensive line. Maybe it's Matt Nagy not calling the sufficient plays. Maybe it's having a quarterback who just can't get it done anymore. I don't know what it is, but it's ugly, and we are sitting through this, and there's no sign that it's going to be corrected anytime soon.
But Andy Dalton was never known for that. Andy Dalton was never known for pushing the ball down the field. We had plenty of people on over the offseason to say, you know what you're going to get with Dalton. He's going to make his money between 5 and 15 yards. That's where he's going to make his money. He's going to be able to get you those efficient, his completion percentage is going to be high. He's going to get you those 7-8 yard passes. But what happens when you need to push the ball down the field and score? If we can get the time of possession numbers, let's look at that and see what that really did for them, because it didn't do a damn thing.
Somebody, you got to call the damn play. Somebody has to call the play for that. Somebody has to call the play for that to happen. We saw a series of button hooks and inside slants. That was the play call today. At the end of the day, at least Dalton went in Cincinnati. They was at least getting kicked out in the first round. Matt Nagy has to call. I think because of the line, Dalton was throwing the ball like under 2.2 seconds. He was getting the ball out quick, so things weren't really developing. Was that the line? We don't. I mean, obviously we saw what we saw, but I'm gonna share the blame, Aldo. It's gonna be Nagy and Dalton, because with that sack was incredible, and then we also went for fourth. We went for on a stupid fourth down on that one.
When
we
fourth and 15.
And been down by 10 with more than 9 minutes left on the clock. And so when you went
three times
and threw it short of the sticks, you can talk about Nagy all you want, but Andy Dalton threw the ball short of the sticks on that fourth and 15.
That's why I said that. Equal blame, John. Equal blame. Because it's not just one play call. It's not just one pass. It's a series of events that took place. And so that's why it's embarrassing, because nobody's asking the real questions. We're talking more authentically than we hear in this press conference. I can't wait to hear this press conference just so I can hear what they don't talk about. They're not going to talk about, are you prepared to play football? They're not asking that question.
No, Tyler.
Are y'all singing Kumbaya? Are y'all eating s'mores today?
It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same thing it always is, Tyler. They're going to come to the podium. They're going to act like they're trying to guard the nuclear codes. They're going to talk real cryptically. They're going to go around in circles, and they're going to give you a whole bunch of words that don't make any sense, and then they're going to go on to the next question. Right. That's exactly what it's always going to be. That's what it's going to be from Nagy. That's what it's going to be from Ryan Pace. That's what it's going to be. That's what we've seen. They won't talk about their contracts. They won't talk about whether a player had another surgery for an injury. They won't talk about anyone's performance. They won't talk about a play call. They won't talk about it. You know why? Because they don't have an answer. They're embarrassed. They can't give you the real answer because it would piss you off even more, because they don't know what the hell they're doing half the time.
What if they said that? What if they said that? You know what, guys? I don't know what I'm doing.
At least it would be honest, and we're like, I know. I know. You're owning it. but we're to a point now where the offensive genius we have hired can't score points. Right. How many more years and how many more quarterbacks do you have to go through before you look at it and say, maybe it's the coach's fault? How many times do you have to draft somebody high or bring in a Foles or bring in a Dalton and draft the Fields? How many times is it going to have to happen before you start thinking, oh crap, I am out of people to blame? It's got to be soon.
I think we got
it's got to be soon.
Matt Nagy is at the podium, but I'm having difficulty bringing him in. So, guys, continue, and as soon as I get the signal, I will interrupt you guys. Okay,
Don, you're absolutely right. Because let's just be real, Mitch was another scapegoat. Everybody's a scapegoat, but at the end of the day, who brought Andy Dalton in, and why did they bring him in? You see what I'm saying? Like, if he can't throw the ball down the field, then why would they try to go get him? Why would they bring him in? Was he the best available?
I don't know. And the fact of the matter is, the thing that this team has lacked for a long time is explosive plays down the field. They have a hard time scoring quickly, and so what do you do? You bring in a quarterback that isn't really known for that. He's known for being efficient, playing between the 20s, you know, dink and dunk and whatever. And then that really coincides with the play calling, which is very much dink and dunk and try to control the play, try to control the time of possession, but you really don't score. So moving past that, though, are they going to be able to – we just saw what the Bengals did to the Vikings today, took them to overtime, ended up beating them. Are they going to be – what happens if this team loses to the Bengals? What happens if this team starts 0-2? Does Justin Fields get in then? Because I think Aldo might be on all the same – no, maybe we're not on the same page about whether we not think Nagy's safe. He's up now, so let's hear what he has to say about it.
In those areas.
On the 4th and 15, that's at a different point in the game.
Yeah,
on that one specifically. Going for it.
Yeah, that was again. You just kind of, some of it's just a feel of where you're at, and you know, the one where things offensively, that one play when he had that, when Aaron had that sack, we had a double move out there, and it was a little pump play, and he made a play. That's what he does, and so sometimes there's a risk reward when you take a shot that can happen at times. And if that doesn't happen, then maybe we have a guy and we hit it down the sideline, but that's what you're dealing with when you play this team. You know, that's kind of what I was getting to the other day with Aaron. You know, you can contain him, but then at a crucial point, because I still felt like we were moving the ball and getting into the, you know, big red zone, but then he made that play and it made it second and forever and then third and forever. And then, you know, trying to go for it on four. So,
Matt, playing Justin in spurts,
yeah,
can that be good for his development in long term?
Well, you know, being the five plays, like Adam said, I think that it's when and how you do it. You know, that you got to have a little feel to it and see. But again, you got to have a why as to how you do it. And I think we didn't really know the exact amount of plays that it would be. Could have been more, could have been less, but once we got behind a couple scores there in the fourth quarter, we knew it was going to probably limit a few of his stuff.
How do you account for the explosive plays that you guys give up?
Yeah, that's what we got to. I got to get with Sean and watch the tape and see the why, see who it was, because they had too many. You can't give those big plays up, you know, and for touchdowns. And that's, they got a good quarterback back there that's going to make plays. And he had that one third down. He loves dagger routes. And he had that one big third down across the middle. I think it was 3rd and 10. The early on in the game, they ran that double move on the post route. Again, I got to get to the tape and see the why. We got to get that fixed. So, but I have a lot of belief in our guys. I really do. Our guys are, they know that we can play better. It's not about, for us, not about overreacting. We got to stick together, just stay together, get better. That's a good, you have to give a lot of credit to Sean McVay and that team. They got good players. They're well coached, and I have better nothing coach. But respect for them. Yeah. I know. Yep. No, that was, Larry has an ankle and Jason has a quad. So we'll see where that's at. But yeah, when you
have a pain happen, in my ass and I'm looking at him,
I thought Isaiah came in. I got to see how he played, but we do have a little bit of depth there for those situations, but certainly against this defense, that's not really what you want.
What depth?
Not with depth. Isaiah, but just losing two tackles.
Especially on the cup in particular to start the third. It looked like Marquis was on him initially. Was that supposed to be the safety picking him up? Or was he?
I don't know. I don't know until I see that tape. I don't know, but that's something we can't have happen.
Andy, tell you about his interception there in the end zone. And I'm curious, like, the in and out with him, Justin, think that affected him a little bit coming out?
No, because they knew and we knew and we practiced it. They know the progression of those plays. So I don't think that had anything to do with that. But they the kid tipped the ball and it made a great catch too. So, but the big picture for us is, okay, we have a big run to start the game. You have a 41-yard run. You get down there, the tempo's going, you're good to go. It's 3rd and 1, and then boom, penalty. Yeah. Right. And now all of a sudden you look up and you don't even get 3 points. They get the ball. So that's where I think we got to grow. And it helps momentum wise. It helps you. And when you come out with nothing, but we also talked about this was going to be a slugfest early on in the first quarter. We talked about there's going to be some punches thrown and how do you react to it? And so coming in at halftime 13-7, the way the first half went, we were okay with that. We wanted to come out now and finish the 3rd and 4th. And that's what we didn't do. So we got to get better there.
Well, to follow up on Adam's question about quarterbacks, are you concerned about the downside there of it being a challenging situation for Justin to be thrown in cold, for Andy to have his rhythm disrupted by coming in and out?
Yeah, no, that's something that we got to keep an eye on, because that is you want to make sure that when you're doing it, that going into this game, we know that we're going to do that with Justin, that he feels comfortable and knows exactly what the plays are that he's going in for. And then, two, situationally, how we're going to use it. So I don't think that's a bad question at all. I think that's real. And I think that when you go through these situations or these experiences, you got to look at all that stuff, because you want to make sure that you're taking care of both guys the right way.
Bet on using Justin in isolated plays like that, or were you gauging it as you went to say, hey, this starts to work a little better, maybe we go to more of that?
No, we had the plan and we stuck to our plan. We knew where and when we were going to use them, and we stuck to that. And so we'll see where that goes and how we do it. But I think we all understand that, for us, strategically, we'll see where we go with that, without giving anything away. What's that?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to give away those codes. Don't give away that plan. It's working so damn well.
Right, right. Yeah, that's definitely a learning lesson, to make sure you touch him when he's down. And that's what they were looking at. So it's not for lack of effort with those guys. It's really not. I think these guys will.
You're a professional football team. That's a good learning lesson. You know, when the guy hasn't been touched, you should probably touch him. We're probably going to have a couple drills over that, and then we're going to go back and watch the tape and say, listen, when the guy hasn't been touched, make sure you put a hand on him. Even a finger will suffice, but you got to touch him, because those are the rules.
He shouldn't have been.
You are being paid millions of damn dollars to play football.
It, you know what? Here's another one, right? For some reason, my video is not coming up. But do you remember the other missed tackle that Eddie Jackson had by the sideline?
Yeah.
It was just ridiculous. I don't understand why anyone that is wearing the Chicago Bears uniform isn't able to tackle efficiently. It's just absolutely – it baffles me how this guy can be on the field – and play such a critical role on the defense. Tyler, I agree with you. Eddie Jackson says all the right things. He's very professional. I listen to him on press conferences. He sounds like a team leader. He behaves like a team leader. But when he gets out into the field, he's not performing like a team leader. You cannot. And perhaps he went back to the sideline and he got yelled at because he got a little bit more aggressive in his tackling attempts as the game went on, but he still did not wrap up like he should have on that one particular play. And if I can load it, I will, because I want everybody to see that.
To your point, we're lucky it got called back that the guy's knee touched, because I would have called that a touchdown. That was man-on-man Eddie Jackson. The guy made it to the second, third level, and he scored on you, Eddie. Yeah, they called it back, said his knee was down. But he ran through you. You're the safety. You're the last line of defense. And like it's just, we look kind of soft back there. We knew this was an issue. We knew that we knew this was an issue. We knew that going in here where we were at in the depth. And so, what you got?
Here it is. This is the tackle or lack of tackle. Here comes number 4. And Tell me this.
What Matt Nagy just said, it wasn't because of lack of effort. There's not a lack of effort there. Then what the hell is that? Either you're not trying or you don't know what you're doing. because that's the only two options when you see that. Either you don't know what you're doing or you don't give a shit. So tell me which one it is.
It's not fair, right? He can't be afraid, right?
Of what? Who is that? Who has the ball?
I think it was Cooper Kupp.
Cooper Kupp? You afraid of Cooper Kupp?
I mean, Cooper Kupp was the one that ran through him in the 5-yard line.
Yeah. If you're afraid of Cooper Kupp, get out of the league. If you're afraid of getting steamrolled by Cooper Kupp, you're in the wrong game, man.
That's what I'm trying to understand. He went for Cooper Kupp's ankles at the 5-yard line rather than hit him up high, and Cooper almost scored. Like, real quick, a positive thing out of this, I found one. Miss McCaskey was there. Ryan Pace should be getting a phone call tonight. That's who I really want to hear from. That's who doesn't really talk to the media.
They like him too much. They like him too much, Tyler. They like them too much. They're just, like I said, this whole franchise is ran like a family diner. Ryan Pace is the waiter who can't remember anyone's order, and Matt Nagy is the chef who can't even make a grilled cheese, but they're fun to have around. They like talking to him in the hallway, so they're going to be able to stick around because they're family. That's just how this works.
Embarrassing. Cuz we actually have talent in the skill positions, John. That's what really sucks, because remember once upon a time when we had receivers that couldn't catch? And now, and now, Allen Robinson, 35 yards on 11 attempts. Are they trying to find a reason to not pay him? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And then next year, we're going to be looking for another number one wide receiver when we got to draft the offensive line again.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the days of, was it Marcus Wheaton and Kendall Wright? The last, it was like 2016, I think that was. That was bad. That was real bad. But honestly, they're not utilizing the talent they have now. You have a guy in Darnell Mooney who can fly past everyone. How many times did they try that? None. How many times did they try to push the ball down the field, Allen Robinson? None. Marquise Goodwin, a former Olympian who can burn so many people, even at his age, can run past people. How many times did they send the ball down the field towards him? None. Guys, did they try a long pass tonight? Did they attempt one?
It did look like they were playing a deep zone. But this is going to make you upset. It looked like they were daring the Bears to run on them. That's what the game looked like to me, because I saw every time the ball hiked, I saw the middle linebacker bail. And
so when you have all of that deep coverage, then you should have a coach that knows how to take advantage of that, then, huh? You should have a game plan to say, if they're dropping everyone back, this is how we're going to take advantage of it. Montgomery had 100 yards and they still and they had nothing to show for it. So what you're saying is I'm not saying you, Tyler, but so what I'm taking out of this is, if anyone plays deep on the Bears, they're screwed because they don't know what to do then. If they drop all these people, we don't know what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to run or throw? So if they drop three, just head to the locker room, because they can't do anything about it.
It's pretty pathetic, you know, but there were some signs that perhaps this team, you know, is not going to go home.
You know what?
Come on.
I'm trying to find a silver lining here, guys.
No, and while you were looking for the Matt Nagy thing, I don't know if you heard Tyler and I's conversation about if this team loses to the Bengals. If the Andy Dalton revenge game against the Cincinnati Bengals does not go as it should, do we see Justin Fields in next week against Cleveland?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Fields played on Sunday against the Bengals. I do think
more than five plays or what?
Sliver, no, that he starts the game and plays. I do think there is a sliver of a chance, because I believe that the coaches are going to look at the tape and they're going to say, you know what the answer is? We need Justin Fields. He gives us big playability with his legs, with his arms. Yes, there's going to be some growing pains, but you know what? Andy Dalton had growing pains today too, and that's a fact. It's all every quarter. He went out there and he made a mistake to either retard a drive that they were getting on, getting going, or worse. So I hate to be so hard on Andy Dalton because I do think he's a good quarterback, but at this point, you've got a much more explosive player on your bench, and you should be using him.
Well, everyone that was talking about you can't put Fields in there against Aaron Donald, you can't put him in there against the Rams defense. Number one, they did for five plays, so that apparently was okay. But then two, did Dalton die tonight? Did Dalton go off in a stretcher? Did Dalton get hurt tonight, or was he able to handle the Rams defense and all this? Was he able to stay safe? Was anything Andy Dalton – did anything Andy Dalton do something that Justin Fields couldn't do tonight as far as keeping himself healthy and upright? Because everything that I saw Andy Dalton do, I think Justin Fields might have been able to do.
I agree.
So I don't want to hear about you can't put him in against Cleveland. You can't put him in against the Wolves of L.A. Anything Andy Dalton did tonight to avoid a pass rush, Justin Fields could have done.
If not better.
So I don't want to, and probably better. He wouldn't have taken a 15-yard sack either. So I don't want to hear about, oh, you're gonna put him in harm's way. This is football. If he's ready, if he's good enough, if he's prepared enough to go in for five plays and do a running play in between the 10-yard line and the goal line, if he's okay to do that, he should be able to do everything else.
John, I think it's gonna come down to this. It has to come down to wins and losses. Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes stayed on the bench because Alex Smith was winning games. That's the difference. If Alex Smith was losing games, Mahomes would have started sooner. They went to the playoffs. Andy Dalton, if we're going to lose games, we might as well let the rookie learn. We might as well let the rookie get his lumps. We might as well. I'm going to support whoever is starting. But if we're going to lose like this on national TV, they keep giving us a chance to become great. They keep giving us a chance, and we keep giving them ammunition to disrespect us. We're a joke. The whole staff picked us to lose the freaking game. And you see, and you wonder why. Matt Nagy's talking about they're well coached and good players. What are you talking about, man? What are you saying?
No, and that's the difference between like the Alex Smith situation and the situation over in San Francisco, where even Trey Lance got in a little bit today, was, and I've said this a few times on a few shows, so I'm sorry if I'm being repetitive to some other people that are listening to this, but Jimmy Garoppolo took the San Francisco 49ers to the Super Bowl. He's been in San Francisco for years, unlike Andy Dalton, who's only been in Chicago, 2 months longer than Justin Fields?
Right.
So those situations are much different. Andy Dalton was not an established veteran that has been in the Bears organization for a long time, and you're just going to say, hey, you keep driving the bus, and then we'll put the kid in when it's ready. Well, they just picked this guy up. It's not like he's had like a 10-year rapport with the guy, the coaching staff and the receivers and the organization. He's been here, they signed him when? Was it March? Mm-hmm. And they drafted Fields in April? He hasn't had that much more time with the Bears than Justin Fields has. So, like you said, Tyler, I'd rather, if we're going to be losing like this, I'd rather be losing like this with the rookie than losing like this with Andy Dalton. Because it doesn't do us any good to lose like this with Andy Dalton. At least Justin Fields might learn something. At least he might come into his own with this kind of season. Losing with a 33 or 34-year-old Andy Dalton who's not even going to be on the team next year, that doesn't do us any good. So put him in if it's good. Then Matt Nagy, you can go to Ted and the McCaskey family and say, look, I need another year with Justin Fields. You can't possibly fire me now. I need to have another year with Justin Fields. Look, we just got him on the field.
Absolutely not. No.
Hey, you don't have to convince me. You don't have to convince me. But this is still a Nagyism. That's where we're at.
Well, and we got to talk about Khalil Mack because he had one tackle today and was not a factor in this game. Did not make any impact plays, and so we have to start asking the question: is he on the downside of his career, and is that being accelerated? He had his guys in there. He had Akeem Hicks in there. Akeem and Robert Quinn shared the sack today. He had Bilal Nichols in there. He had he had all his guys with the exception of Danny Trevathan. We can talk about Alec Ogletree later, but my question for you guys is Khalil Mack now becoming a part of the problem because he's not playing to that superstar potential, that superstar quality that the Bears paid for?
Yeah, to an extent, yeah. And, you know, he's not getting too much. Eddie Goldman wasn't in there tonight. They weren't getting much pressure up the middle. Tonga got tossed around like a rag doll in a few plays. I don't know if you saw on the gold line. He got spun around like he was taking ballroom dancing. So that was bad. He's not getting much support from the other edge. Robert Quinn, I was hoping that he would have some kind of bounce back. And so far, not so good. Yeah, Matt, he's not getting help, but he's also not performing like we've seen him perform. Gone are the days where we'd see him toss a 350-pound lineman with one arm, doing the old turnstile thing. We have not been seeing that kind of pressure from Khalil Mack. We have not been seeing the strip sacks. And so now that becomes part of the problem because, guys, they have so much money invested in this defense. And that's what you get with between Eddie Jackson's contract, between Khalil Mack's contract, between Robert Quinn's contract, Trevathan with the void years that they're going to be paying for a while. And they're going to have eventually pay Roquan Smith if they want him to be around as well. Akeem Hicks's contract. So they have a lot of money involved in this defense. And the defense looks like it's about to crumble. So well, Mack is a part of that crumbling defense then.
It's a tough call, Aldo. I will say this: if you put Mack on any other of these other teams, I guarantee he'll be performing. You see something. I think it's a chemistry thing. We can spread the blame around a little bit, but the pass rush and the coverage plays off each other, right? Without Goldman, like I said, there was nobody stepping up a gap like that, consistently throughout the entire day. Teams are prepared. They know what Mack brings to the table. He's not flying below the radar. But when you overpay a safety, it's different. So, John, that money that we're missing, we let Kyle Fuller go. That money we're missing is giving up touchdowns. Where's Eddie Jackson? Is Eddie Jackson top five safety in the league? Like, that's a good decision. Khalil Mack, at the end of the day, he's going to make the quarterback move. Both of these teams do a good job. Aaron Donald didn't get any stats until like the fourth quarter. Maybe the fourth quarter. I mean, the whole first half, Aaron, he does create pressure, but that was really it.
But it creates pressure. But you also saw Leonard Floyd get it. He created some mop-up sacks there. Right. So who's getting the mop-up sacks for the Bears? No one's trailing him. No one's meeting him at the quarterback. If he gets to the quarterback, no one's meeting him there. So it's supposed to be the strength of the team. You have a regardless of what you think about Dalton, he's got a pretty affordable contract. They got Justin Fields on a rookie deal. Nick Foles probably makes too much, but that's neither here nor there. David Montgomery is on his rookie deal. Mooney's on his rookie deal. Yeah, Robinson's on the franchise tag. But other than that, I mean, I guess you have some money wrapped up into Cody Whitehair, but all of the money is on the defense.
Crazy.
And if the defense can't stop anybody, then that's a poor investment. That's a bad investment.
You're right.
Let's listen in to Justin Fields.
Throwing wise and stuff like that, so I can definitely try some stuff that I wouldn't try in the game right now. But, you know, as I progress and, you know, get better and stuff like that, I'll definitely get more comfortable with doing some of those things in the game.
Appreciate you guys.
Sorry, caught him a little too late.
Good enough.
Where's Andy?
No, did they already talk to Andy? Did they talk to Justin Fields before they talked to Andy?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I missed those guys.
No, what's he going to say? What's he going to say that's going to make us say feel any different about anything? And I've said this before. I don't hate Andy Dalton. I think, and I don't want this to turn into an anti-Andy Dalton show. Andy Dalton is what he is, and he is exactly what we thought he was. So, but we also didn't think that it was going to be so vanilla and dink and dunk and ineffective. You can call it efficient, but it's not effective. So it's frustrating because you have a guy that you were that brought in to revolutionize the Bears offense. This guy was going to change the game. This guy was going to do this guy was going to take them to the next level. And what did he do? He rode the coattails of a great defense for 2-3 years. And now it's time to pay the piper because the defense isn't good anymore and your offense still stinks and you're going to reap exactly what you sow. So that's, and we're coming into that in 2021.
Sean decided, got a lot of, I don't want to say hype. He's been around. Sean decides, think about, Sean decided was the secondary coach promoted to defensive coordinator. Who got torched today? The secondary got torched today. Mm-hmm. And the defensive coordinator, when you talk about who was the co-contributor to the pass rush, I mean, too much focus. I don't know. I could have sworn we was going to score some touchdowns today on defense. All the bucket talk. Like, Matt Stafford was throwing the ball all first half. We couldn't come up with a turnover. We weren't in those passing lanes. Stafford knew exactly where to throw the ball. We have a whole new, not a whole new defense, but Stafford knew just what to do. I mean, it's like I said, it's, man, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I don't know either, man. Let me try this. You know, the Bears did play a really good team, a Super Bowl quality team. I mean, the team is stacked with offensive weapons. Matthew Stafford, I know a lot of people all week long during our coverage leading up to the game, a lot of people were down on Matthew Stafford. He hasn't done anything and so forth. I've always thought Matthew Stafford was an excellent quarterback. Didn't have an offensive line at Detroit. Never had a rushing attack at Detroit. I know Greg Gabriel, the former college scouting director for the Chicago Bears, hates Matt Stafford. Said he was terrible coming out of Georgia. He's terrible at he's just a stat stuffer and so forth. But I see a quarterback who takes advantage of a lack of a pass rush. If there's not a pass rush coming down the middle, where, you know, those defensive tackles, the middle of the line, if they're not crushing in on him, then he'll just carve you up because he'll step up into the pocket or he'll twirl around, create a little bit of time, and hit those long passes. He's so accurate with his long passes. So back to my point is they played a good team. They played a good team that is stacked with weapons. And the defense last year was the number one ranked defense in the entire NFL. So perhaps some of the emotion that we're going through tonight, some of the passion that we have about fire Nagy, fire this, do that, do this, do this, maybe that's a little bit too much right now. Maybe we all need a good night's sleep. And once we look at the tape, we'll see some things that will give us hope in that going into Cincinnati and playing an emerging Cincinnati Bengals team, we can go out there and crush them and then get ready for Cleveland, a very good Cleveland team. I'm not ready to just say that the world is on fire and that things are terrible. I could be wrong, and this could be an 0-17 team, but I do believe that there's the possibility here that the Bears can correct what we saw today and at least win some football games starting next week against the Bengals.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Aldo. My biggest problem with that is even if they correct some of the things that you're talking about and they're able to win some games, where does that leave us? I'm not okay being 8-9 and missing the playoffs. I'm not okay being 7-10. I'm not okay being 9-8 and missing the playoff. I'm not okay with just, okay, let's correct some things and maybe they can win some football games. They don't raise banners for being okay. They don't give out rings for being okay. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of this aspiration of being mediocre. If they just fix some things, then maybe they could be at the top half of the league. Maybe they could win. They could be a little over 500. We're talking about, well, they played a great team. Well, why aren't the Bears a great team? Why is it always got to be, well, they played a good team and the Bears aren't good, so we got to set those standards a little bit lower. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of saying if they just play to the fullest potential and they maximize everything on this team, they could maybe go 500. I'm tired of that. I don't want to talk about that. So I'm going to be pissed off about it. I'm going to be angry that the highest potential of this team is maybe being okay. That's the highest potential that I see for this team. The best they can do is be okay.
It's ridiculous.
And they're going to just keep going with the status quo with it. No. If they're okay, let's run it back. Because okay is okay. I'm tired of that.
And that's a waste. That's a waste of some of these young people's talent. I mean, the kids, they get drafted and they want to win a Super Bowl. And to like purposely not try, like that's what I get upset about. For example, Sean McVay, he had put it out there in the news. Sean McVay said, if I don't get Aaron Donald a ring, I have failed. I love when a coach takes that kind of responsibility of I need to get my best player a Super Bowl ring. We got Super Bowl aspirations over here. Everything we do is for that goal. When over here, it's just like, I just want our coach, our leader, who paints the vision for the team. Because guys, your personal development is dictated to where you want to go. And if the goal is the playoffs, Arlington Heights, buying new stadiums, you want people to pay for, hello, Chicago Bears ownership. What's the goal for player development? Because I don't. Everything you said is right. So maybe I'm wrong because I'm thinking my team is better than it really is.
Well, I don't know. I desperately want to find some hope in what we saw today. This game was within reach. This game at the half, we should, like, if you missed the halftime report that we had, the first thing I said is we should have been ahead. And after three quarters, I still felt like this game was in within grasp. But there were just some mistakes by veteran players. Andy Dalton, Eddie Jackson, veteran players let us down today. And we can point the finger at Matt Nagy and some of the mistakes that he made and so forth. But still, you know, I'm a believer that you can call almost anything as long as you execute it. The players can execute stuff. Khalil Mack can get better and get to the quarterback and so forth. If the players execute, then we can nullify a lot of the stuff that the coach is doing wrong.
So they gotta play. They gotta play well to overcome the deficiencies of their coach. That's where we're at now. If everyone digs deep and plays the best that they can, we can overcome the jackass on the sidelines.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Good. I'm glad that's our success strategy. Dig deep. Do whatever you can to execute to overcome the guy who's supposed to be coaching us and is actually making us worse. Good. Good. We got Abe Gibron over there.
John's red. John's upset.
I am upset. I'm tired of every time the Bears are on national TV, I get 9,000 texts saying, oh, there's the red rifle, LOL. There's this, blah, 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 LOL. I'm tired. Take the Bears off national TV. I'm tired of this. I can't take it anymore. I can't have my friends watching the Bears anymore. It's embarrassing. It's like when your friend's coming over and your kitchen or your bathroom's an absolute mess because you weren't expecting them to come over. You're embarrassed. You're like, oh, no, don't look at that. That's how I feel about the Bears. Like, oh, don't watch them. I'll watch them. You don't watch them because I'm embarrassed. And most of them are Steeler fans, so they're coming off a big win off the Buffalo Bills. See, they have a team that actually wins games they're not supposed to win. And then they win the games they are supposed to win. Unlike the Bears, who are just like, well, we have a tough schedule, so let's blame that. No, because I'm so tired of just being like, oh, ho hum. Okay, let's see if we can squeeze 8 wins out of this, and then but Ted Phillips made us a lot of money last year. Matt Nagy's really nice, got a real firm handshake. I love Ryan Pace, best hairdo in the GM department there. So we gotta just keep these guys around because who's gonna make his famous punch at the Christmas party if we get rid of Ryan Pace, and who's gonna do this whenever we have a family get together? I'm tired of this. Bring in someone that can do something.
Yep.
How long does it have to be? How many times do I have to keep talking about the 85 Bears before we have something else to talk about?
Yeah.
What has to change? What is the common denominator here for the last 40 years? The people pulling the strings. They let people hang around longer than they should. They let people hang around a lot longer than they should, and then they put the wrong people in the wrong positions, whether that's players, whether that's coaches, whether that's GMs, whether that's presidents, across the board. They can't find the right people to take care and get actual results. They're making money hand over fist, but it doesn't matter because the fans keep having to watch this freaking BS of a team be mediocre year in and year out. I'm tired of it.
The players are doing everything the coaches ask of them, right? Is that what Nagy says? He does everything we ask of them. And guess what, John? Don't forget, they execute in practice. There's always good practices.
No, there's always good practice. And if they do everything that they ask of, does Matt Nagy ask Eddie Jackson to tackle people like this, like a Frankenstein? Is that part of that drill? That video clip we saw of Eddie Jackson say, everybody can tackle. How are you going to get the ball? Hey, Eddie, let's worry about the tackle first. How about that? Get the ball later. How about you worry about the ball after you miss a tackle and the guy's 40 yards down the field?
Unbelievable.
Okay, let's leave some room. I know we're gonna wrap it up, Aldo. Let's beat Cincinnati next week, guys. We got it. We're gonna bounce back next week.
I know we are.
Yeah,
I gotta believe.
Over 16-1. There's nothing wrong with that.
Run the
I
ball.
I gotta believe. Well, and I gotta believe that we're gonna continue to deliver outstanding coverage. Listen, we've got new programming every day of the week. Bear football, of course. On Sunday mornings, it's the Barfly Tailgate Show, getting us ready. Those guys are going to be really pissed off next Sunday. But Monday, Greg Gabriel at 2 p.m. Central. I know he's going to be pissed off too, but he's going to talk very deliberately and with a lot of experience. Greg, of course, the former director of scouting for the Chicago Bears, he's going to be with me here at 2 p.m. live. We're going to try to go on after Matt Nagy's press conference on Monday. And then on Tuesday, it's our brand new show with who else? Tyler Ellis and John Buffone in the Bear Debate. If you missed the premiere of that show, you missed a lot of fun. John and Tyler, why don't you guys talk a little bit about that before I finish up with the rest of the schedule for this week?
Listen, that the Bear Debate is a real fun show we just brought to the network. Tyler and I, we kind of face off on five different burning topics around the Chicago Bears. We're going to have a lot to talk about after this one. Then we have a round table debate after that. Aldo is the mediator / referee. He kind of keeps us in line, pushes us back to our corners. And what the fun about this is, each round, we only have 30 seconds to get our point in. So we're on the clock. We're being timed. You got 30 seconds to get your point across. So there's a lot of passion, a lot of yelling. It's all in love. We always have a good time in that. It's a high energy show so that we love doing the Bear Debate. Tyler, I think you'd agree. First episode was pretty fun.
1,000%. It legit feels like a fight night going the game show. I think we're going to do like some smoking, our boxing gear on. So it's tons of fun, great, great, great topics in terms of talking about the team that we love and what it needs to move forward, and we're having a blast.
Yep. Let me talk to you about some of the other shows after the Bear Debate. We will have Dan and Aldo Bear Their Souls. Dan Aguirre has been texting me for the last 45 minutes. He probably doesn't know I'm on the air right now. And he is just so miserable right now. So we'll share his misery on Tuesday. And he of course, is not been a big fan of this defense and Khalil Mack. So he's going to break down his feelings on that. And then on Wednesday, it's Buffone 55 with John and Alyssa Barbieri. I'm working on a guest for that show who's going to provide us with all of the inside information on the Cincinnati Bengals and, of course, Buffone with his rants. By the way, John, did you see the compliment that you got from Mr. Law here?
I did, and that is some incredibly high praise. My Uncle Doug is the reason why I do Buffone 55. It's the reason I'm on this network. It's the reason I'm a Bears fan. That it doesn't get much higher than that. And today is always a big day for me. Every day since his passing, I always rep his jersey wherever I go. You can see it behind me right there. That's one of my prized possessions. I should have it framed, but I can't help myself just to put it on every week one. I don't really wear it too often because I want to make sure it stays in good condition. But every week one, I have that Buffon jersey on. I'm repping the Buffon 55 gear right here. All of that is in honor of him and his effect on my life, both professionally and personally. So that means a lot. I definitely appreciate that.
Very nice. Very nice. And then after Buffon, on Thursday in the morning, we've got the Mike North advantage. And then Thursday night, Danny Shimon is already breaking down tape. He will select a handful of plays from this Rams game to help us understand what went wrong. But he'll also take a look at some of the Bengals tape to help us prepare for the upcoming game. On Friday and Saturday, we'll rest a little bit. But not too much. We do a lot of work behind the scenes to get ready for the week again, and it starts with the Barfly Tailgate Show on Sunday mornings. That's just the Bears coverage on our YouTube channel that we also make available on audio podcasts. And then just audio, we've got the Mikey Betts Show, we've got the Sportscaster and her son, we've got all the shows that cover Bears, so you can get it audio, video, or both. And so the best thing for you to do is to subscribe to the Barroom Network here on our YouTube channel. Also, subscribe to our audio podcast. And it's not just Bears coverage that we give you. We give you Chicago Bulls coverage. Tyler is one of the co-hosts of C-Red Radio, which is going to start up again soon. We've got two other Chicago Bulls programs. We've got plenty of baseball coverage, Sox and Cubs. And we've even got Blackhawks coverage. I love the Blackhawks. Been following them since the 1960s. Yes, I'm that old. Guys, we're going to go around the horn here and just offer up your final words before we bid everybody adieu. I'll start with you, Mr. Tyler Ellis.
Week one is over. Week one is over, and it can only get better. I'm gonna do my best to be positive. We appreciate you all spending your evening with us. It definitely doesn't go for granted, and we love you all. I mean, this sucks, but guess what? Remember this, and this is what my late dad told me when back in the day I used to be flipping tables. He said, "Tyler, guess what? These guys still get paid. They all got a game check. So like, let's leave the emotion here. Let's go out tomorrow. Let's punch Monday in the face. Be productive. Let's maintain our peace. Let's be a blessing. At the end of the day, we got to maintain our homeostasis because no matter where we go, we can be an example of what it's like to like just to be clear, conscious of mind, body, and spirit. Because don't let somebody's shortcomings stop you from your dreams. And so just go out, have an amazing week. Like, I truly love you. I'm praying for all of you and everything. And then Barroom Network, we got tons of stuff coming for you. I mean, we got some crypto talk coming up. Shout out to the Crypt Space. And so between that, I'm looking forward to the fight with John on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's gonna be good.
I'm definitely gonna get some sleep, and then hopefully some good news will happen in between now and then. But between that, Bears Nation, XS Nation, freedomgains.us, sports nutrition. We are about those gains. Come check us out. And we got a lot of outreach things coming out for Mombasa Relief out in Africa. We'll get that information to you soon. Take care. God bless.
All right. John, I'm going to give you the last word because you're always so good at it. I just want to simply say, listen, you know, it was a terrible, terrible, disappointing opening to the season. We could have been 1-0 leading the NFC North Division, but we're tied for first place or tied for the bottom of the division. It can potentially get better. So stick with us here at the Barroom Network. You're going to get a diversity of opinions, and also we want to hear what you've got to say. So being a part of the chat room is really important for us. I try to get up as many comments as possible, and we try to respond to as many comments as possible. But also follow us on Twitter at Barroom Network and everybody else's Twitter feeds, and interact with us because your opinions, again, are highly valued, and we'd like to interact with you as much as possible. John, take us to the close, brother.
Thank you, guys. And it's great just to be back doing Bear football again. This is always a very therapeutic experience, especially after a Bears loss. One of the comments I see in the room is, Buffon, we will get through this pain with you. That's what it is all about. That's exactly what this show is for. This is exactly why we set this up. This is what the Bears community is all about. Listen, I yell and I scream and I get so angry about this team, but you know why? Because I love this team. I want this team to be the dominant team in the NFL. I want to win 15 Super Bowls. I want to all this pain and all this BS that we've gone through for the last four decades. I want it to be worth it whenever they put up a new banner, whether it be Soldier Field or Arlington Heights. That's for a different podcast. But wherever they raise that banner is where it's going to make it all worth it. So this whole Bears community, whether you're in this show or on social media or anything else, it's just so great to be back. And I said that before the game. I love the NFL season. Even though the Bears got, you know, throttled today, I love the NFL season. I'll watch every game that I can. It brings millions of people together for 3 hours throughout the week, and not many things can do that. Not many things can just make you feel like you're connected to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, all at the same time watching the same thing. There are very few things that do that in life. So I embrace the game. I embrace this team. I'm going to be pissed off at this team a lot this season. I can tell you that right now. But I'm going to love this team. It's like part of my family because it is part of my family. I have a direct bloodline into this team. Without my uncle playing for this team, I probably would never have been a Bears fan. But I'm so glad that he was, and I'm so glad that I am. So I'm going to be with you guys throughout this entire season. It might be a bumpy ride, but we'll get it through. We'll get through it like we always do. Appreciate everybody tuning in, whether you're listening to the live version or the downloadable version, the video version, the audio version. Doesn't matter. We appreciate each and every one of you. And we'll be back tomorrow with some great programming from the Barroom Network. But until next time, for Aldo Gandia and Tyler Ellis, I'm John Buffone. We'll catch you next time, everybody. Bear down.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.